ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्वन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरकृशे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नित्यं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं बुद्धामचरितस्य ते इत्थं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं बुद्धामचरितस्य ते इत्थं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं बुद्धामचरितस्य ते। पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं बुद्धामचरितस्य ते इत्थं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं उद्दामचरितस्य ते इत्थं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं उद्दाम वैष्णवीस् इत्थं भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं उद्दामचरितस्य ते भूतानुभावोऽसौ पृतुस्स भगवत्तमः कीर्तितं तस्य चरितं उद्दाम चरितस्यते इत्थम इत्थम भूत दस अनुभावः वेरी ग्रेट पावरफुल असौ दट पृथुः किं पृथु सह हि भगवत्तमः द बेस्ट अमंग द लॉर्ड्स कीर्तितं डिस्क्राइब्ड तस्य हिस चरितं कैरेक्टर उद्दाम वेरी ग्रेट चरितस्य वन हू पोसेसेस सच क्वालिटीज ते टू यू ट्रांसलेशन पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्री प्रभुपाद की Maitreya continued, the greatest of all devotees, Maharaja Prithu, was very powerful and his character was liberal, magnificent and magnanimous. Thus, I have described him to you as far as possible. Purport. In this verse, the word Bhagavat Tamaha is very significant. For the word Bhagavat is used especially to refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the word Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is derived from the word Bhagavat. Sometimes, however, we see that the word Bhagavan is used for great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Narada Muni. This is the case with Prithu Maharaj, who is described here as the best of the Bhagavans or the best of the Lords. A person can be so addressed only if he is a great personality or who exhibits extraordinary and uncommon features or who attains the greatest goal after his disappearance or who knows the difference between knowledge and ignorance. In other words, the word Bhagavan should not be used for ordinary persons. Hare Krishna. We welcome all of you for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class on Saturday. Many devotees have arrived from Chaupati Temple, the IYS group of devotees. I believe last year they had come also, I believe. That was the probably first trip, is it? Or before that also? 3-4 years back. Now we have them here. So we are very happy to have so many senior brahmacharis along with many students and working devotees from Bombay. It's a very great opportunity for us to serve these devotees. I consider the ISKCON temple at Chaupati like a elder brother temple of Pune. We are like younger brothers because I joined in 91. I got connected to the temple there and subsequently 1995 I was sent here. Lot of developments that happened in Pune have happened by the merciful guidance of many seniors like His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, His Grace Shamanand Prabhu, His Grace Govind Prabhu, His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu, His Grace Gauranga Prabhu, all of them headed by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. By their very intimate guidance and support and constant, you know, vigilance over me and Pune. Pune really grew very beautifully over the years. If you see this beautiful temple here, the abode of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, certainly it has not, like there is a saying in English, Rome was not built in a day. That is a saying. So similarly, this temple was certainly not built in a day. Some of you may say, maybe it must have taken 2 years to build. I am not talking about just building the structure. We are talking about building a community requires expert guidance from such leaders at the top, like Parampuja Rayanath Maharaj and his very senior disciples, and Parampuja Gopalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, who has been a GBC here since 1982, and His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj, who has been regularly visiting 4-5 times a year. So this beautiful temple has sprung up by the will of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavachandra and by the attraction created by these great devotees whose names I told you. So you all are welcome here more often and come and spend your holidays here. You can chant, dance, take prasad and relax. Pune can be a place like that for you. Because I know Bombay is a very busy place. First time, I come from a village. When I first arrived in Bombay, in Dadar, I was supposed to go to Kanjurmarg, IIT. The sight of people carrying suitcase and running in Bombay, it shocked me really. Because I had never seen people so busy anywhere. So, one fellow came from Bombay to work in Pune, and within 2 months he went back. He said, Pune is not as busy as Bombay. So you all have not only thrived in such a busy city, but you all are preaching in a very tough place. We can call Bombay is like New York of India. So to preach and make devotees in such a city is not a very easy thing. But the very fact you all, many of you have come here, you have become devotees, shows how much Bombay Brahmacharis and the congregation have created a very powerful influence over all of you and rest of the Bombay also. So you keep coming often and inspire our devotees in Pune also here. So the Srimad Bhagavatam verse I am speaking today is the verse which is going in the series. I didn't take out anything out of the Bhagavatam specially for today morning. It's a part of the series of verses, but I will say some things which will be relevant to all of you who have come from Bombay also. So this is the theme, isn't it? This is the theme of the purport of Srila Prabhupada today. Why is the devotee of the Lord addressed by the name Bhagavan? So I have put Naranarayan Rishi there in the picture. And who is glorifying them? Narada is glorifying them. And they are being worshipped with a shank being blown and all are offering obeisances, you can see. Such obeisances are not only offered for the Lord, but also offered to Lord's devotees also. You know, Srila Prabhupada was served by His Grace Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who would go to offer chapatis to Prabhupada. He would go to the kitchen, cook, and come to Prabhupada's room, offer, and then go back and make more hot puffed chapatis, and he would go. So every time he would go into Prabhupada's room, he would offer obeisances, put the chapati in Prabhupada's plate, again offer obeisances and come out. In a day, probably he would offer hundreds of obeisances. Any non-devotee, if they would see, they'll become envious. Envious of Prabhupada. So, you can see even videos are available, some of Prabhupada's videos now. In Prabhupada's times, how much respect, how much adoration, how much affection the disciples of Prabhupada showed Prabhupada are visible in those videos, you can see, even today. That is because Prabhupada taught gradually as he polished their sadachar, Prabhupada taught actually a pure devotee of the Lord deserves to be respected as good as the Lord. Why? Because the pure devotee, is Prabhupada used to say, is not only equal to the Lord, he is greater than the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. How? Because Mayavadis are trying to become one with God, merge into God and become as equal to God. But pure devotees actually can attract God, capture Him in their heart and control Him by their love. So therefore, they are worshipped even more than Lord also. They deserve to be treated with great affection, respect and adoration, admiration. Because you will see, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says, in one of the purports, the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord. Like that, there is one sentence Prabhupada writes. So, don't think it's a very abstract sentence. I can make it immediately easy for you to appreciate this point. Out of the two, Gaur, Nithai. Gaur is certainly merciful, but Nithai is more merciful than Gauranga also. That who says that? That Gauranga himself says that. You will read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One day, Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda, you are a better preacher than me, he said. I can't preach like the way you preach, he said. And Nityananda was shocked, how can Lord say like this? And Lord Chaitanya said, the reason I am telling you this is, when I saw Jagai Madai, immediately I evoked the Sudarshan Chakra to cut off their head, isn't it? And that is the best service I could do to them. Cut their head off and deliver them and send them to Brahmajyoti to merge there and remain there forever. And they would not have tasted the Krishna Prema. They would have only tasted Shanti, 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 that's all. They would have never got to see my personality eternally. But you are so merciful, you came in between me and these two fellows, Jagai Madai. Because I saw you in the front, I could not use my chakra. I was afraid that in the course of attacking them, I should not attack you also. So my solution could not be released as soon as I saw you in the front. And you stopped me. And then you did a magic of, you know, making those two fellows such pure devotees. Now they are chanting and dancing in Krishna Prema with tears in their eyes. So who is a better preacher? You made them devotees. You know, I would have only killed them and delivered them to Brahma Jyoti. So you are a better preacher than me. Like that Mahaprabhu said. Therefore the devotee of the Lord is more merciful than the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord. And Nityananda Prabhu, for his turn, he said, my dear Lord, you see, I am like the body and you are like the life in the body. So which is greater? Is life in the body important or body is important? Life. So you are the pran in my body. If you, therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, prana achayar, sehetu prachar. If prana is not there, how can the body function? Yes, you can call that I am very merciful, but my mercy is happening because you are my prana. Therefore, Nityananda used to sing always. Bhaja gaurango, kaha gaurango, leho gauranger namre, bhaja gaurango, kaha gaurango. Leho Gauranga Vedana Gauranga Bhaje Sehaya Mara Prana Re So he used to say, please chant Gauranga's name, sir, because he carried Gauranga with him wherever he went. And he gave Gauranga to people. By which he says that, yes, I am very merciful. How? Because whatever currency I am using to attract people is your mercy only. Like that Nityananda Prabhu said. So in this way they had a loving competition. Who is more merciful? Not that I am more merciful. He said, you are merciful. He said, you are more merciful. He said. So people can get confused. Who is merciful? Gaura is merciful and Nityananda is merciful. And the confusion is wonderful. Because you will never forget them. In the confusion, keep analyzing, watching. Lord says his devotees are more merciful than him. Devotees say that whatever mercy they possess is Lord's mercy. So, but the point is this, that as Prabhupada said in the purport also, devotee of the Lord is very special and they deserve to be adored and respected just like the Lord. Sakshat Haritvena. See, Hari is Lord Krishna. Haritva, Haritvata means the quality of Hari brushes the devotees also. Lord is Titikshava, devotees also Titikshava. Lord is Karunika, devotees also Karunika. Similar qualities of Krishna are seen in the devotees also due to their intense association with the Lord. Like sometimes, you know, some people, they become emotionally influenced by some charismatic personalities. Like if some personality is doing certain actions, somebody in the audience also may become influenced by their actions and behave like them. You have seen that? How many of you have seen that? Correct? Yeah. Isn't it? So that means certain people have an influence on the audience. If they say like the audience also, that's what they will say. And if they say like the audience also, they will do like that, isn't it? They become influenced. Similarly, you will find people who watch certain movies, after returning from the movie, they tell their friends, you know, scene after scene. What was the first scene, second scene, third scene. And while doing that, sometimes they act out some of the actions done by certain actresses and actors. You've seen that? Why they have become so much influenced by those characters that they are acting out. Similarly, you will find this is actually the perverted reflection of the gopis acting out Krishna's pastimes. When gopis heard Uddhava speaking Krishna's pastimes, when Uddhava came, immediately the gopis, while attending class, they got up and they started performing those pastimes. One gopi climbed on the shoulder of another gopi and said, "Hey Kaliya, today I will subdue you." Similarly, one gopi took the end of her sari and said, "All of you, Vrijabasis, come and take shelter of this Govardhan." They started acting out. Not intentionally or with some purpose. They actually went transcendently mad. In great ecstasy, they did that. They became influenced because they carried Krishna in their hearts. So, anyone who carries Krishna in one's heart, they become influenced by Krishna's qualities. You see, Agasura carried Krishna in his mouth for some period of time, due to which his mouth became completely fragrant. Krishna acted like mukvas. People put some very sweet smelling items. You have seen that? After this, Krishna went in the mouth and came back. All his fishy smell went away. Our Agasura's fishy mouth. It became fragrant. Not only that, Agasura attained Swarupya Siddhi. Attained a Swarupa in the spiritual sky, although he was a demon. Putana and Agasura, these two are special demons. Very special, because they both got Swarupa Siddhi. Generally, demons are liberated and sent to Brahma Jyoti. But these two demons, they got Swarupa Siddhi. Because they carried Krishna in the mouth. Similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should carry Krishna in our mouth while chanting the holy name and in our heart. If you carry Krishna in the heart, just as Agasura's mouth became purified and scented by Krishna's smell, similarly our heart also, by carrying Krishna, Krishna's qualities will brush with our heart. And all bad qualities will be driven out and all auspicious qualities will be awakened. Similarly, those who carry Bhagavan in their hearts, wherever they go, they become vehicle for Bhagavan. Wherever they go, they're carrying Bhagavan, they distribute Bhagavan everywhere. Now you may say, Prabhuji, if they have one Bhagavan inside, they distribute it, then packet will be Kali. No, that's not the way the spiritual truth works. Bhagavan can multiply any number of times. They can give it to any number of people. Is it right? They can give, just like the Surya, you see, Surya, if you see, Ashesha Teja, he said, Yachakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja Samastasura Murti Rashesha Tejaha Yasya Agnaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this example Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving in his conversation in Prakashana Saraswati and Sarumbhattacharya. Mahaprabhu explained how the Lord is unlimited. And he can expand himself unlimitedly also. A pure devotee can give Krishna to many, many people, wherever he goes. And still he will carry Krishna, just like a lamp. With a lamp, you can lit up thousands of lamps. During Damodar month, we lit up, isn't it? And still your lamp will be with you also. Similarly, the Lord can expand, you know, he can give Krishna to, pure devotee can give Krishna to everybody, and he can still carry Krishna himself also. In this way, because he is carrying Krishna and delivering Krishna, and making the world Krishna Maya, and he himself is Krishna Maya, therefore they are addressed as Bhagavan Narada or Bhagavan Badarayani. Like that they are called. So you will see some of the Prabhupada purports I have mentioned here. I have given supportive evidence from other purports. See here, Prabhupada says, why is Brahma, Narada and Lord Shiva called as Bhagavan? Because they carry out the purpose of the Supreme Lord. And the same purport I have cut it into points and put in the next page. That will be more easy for you to see. Now you can see this one. Why a devotee is called Bhagavan? Because they carry out the purpose of the Supreme Lord. And in this purport, Prabhupada says two purposes. One, he says, Brahma is the secondary creator of the universe. That is one purpose he is fulfilling. Sarga, sargo visarga, and then it goes on. Sthanam, poshanam, utayaha, all those things go. The first truth is sarga. Sarga is done by whom? Lord himself. And visarga, secondary creation, is done by Brahma. Which means, For someone to be a devotee to be called as Bhagavan, you should exactly do what Lord intends to do. Then they may be called as Bhagavan. Like Brahma understands Lord Vishnu's heart and his good instructions, and he exactly fulfills the purpose. Another thing he says, he is always thinking on how to improve the situation of the conditioned souls who have come to the material world to enjoy the material activities by disseminating Vedic knowledge. This is another thing he is saying. Like you see, Srila Prabhupada, in his times also, constructed ISKCON temples. And after that, a lot of people started coming. Then he established Grihastha Ashram, Brahmacharya Ashram. And in those temples, he worshipped the Lord. He printed and published books and distributed books and instituted training and education and transformed all the visitors into devotees. Same thing Brahma does. He created the 14 planetary systems, which is a house for all of us. If you are in Sattvaguna, you are transported to upper planetary systems. Tamaguna, lower. Rajaguna in the middle planetary system. So all the living entities are seated in their respective floors of the 14-story building. And after that, what next? Now they are all quarreling with each other now. Now that the food is over, you know, food is arranged, accommodation is arranged, when they quarrel, then Brahmaji takes guidance from Lord Vishnu, takes the Vedas and Upanishads, Puranas, everything, and hands it over in disciplic succession. So that when living beings get it, they become purified. So you will see, this is one of the things that makes makes Brahma called as Bhagavan Brahma, because he's exactly doing what Lord Vishnu intends to do. Two things he's doing: he's creating the universe and giving Vedic wisdom for all living entities. In Bible, there is a statement: "I and my Father are one." Like that, Jesus says. So, what is the meaning of "I and Father are one"? Do you catch the Father and Son and fuse them together, make one big piece of ball of flesh, and then now Father and Son are inside it? No. "I and Father are one" means in spirit the Father and Son are one. Like you will see in some families, the Father and Son are so much one in spirit. Before the, like in Hindi they call it, "Til" means tail, they say. The father says, "Beta, can you go to market and bring some tail?" He says, and the son brings tail only. And the father is amazed. "How did you know exactly that I wanted to get tail and put it, put a their kolluka bile and then put some tail and make it into tail?" Because son understands the intentions of the master. So, this is actually the real son, first class son. One who understands the intention of the master and exactly acts according to that. He doesn't act contrary. Because if he acts contrary, he would displease the master, isn't it? So this is one aspect of the Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who exactly carries out. Because the intention is same. Like it is said, Rupa Sanatan, when they were in Vrindavan, although Lord Chaitanya had disappeared, I mean he had gone to his own abode, when they were living, many other followers of Chaitanya who came to Vrindavan, who are very sad that Mahaprabhu is not here anymore in this world, when they saw Rupa Sanatan, they saw the same affection, same love of God, you know, same seriousness and sincerity in these Goswamis. So they decided to live like Raghunath Das Goswami, like you will see Srinivas Acharya, and many others who came later, you will find that they took shelter of Rupa Sanatan and Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan, because they carried the same spirit. So Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON society. How much are we carrying his spirit? We can ask the question. Are we, here you find Brahma exactly carries out what Lord Vishnu wants him to carry out. So when Srila Prabhupada was in the planet, he carried out ISKCON in a certain way. So how much are we carrying out ISKCON in the same way? We can ask the question. Certainly, we are not potent spiritually or powerful like Srila Prabhupada. At least we should carry a drop of his spirit and carry out what he intended to spread. Fortunately, Prabhupada has given purports and letters and conversations, videos and everything, so that nobody can completely go diametrically opposite. We have a fair idea of what Prabhupada intended in this world. So, this is one reason, carrying out the purpose. This is another purport from where I got this one. Devarshi Narada is described herein as Bhagavan due to being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. One time Srila Prabhupada, when he was in the West, Kirtanand Swami Bhaktipada, he was the early day disciple. Keith, Valley and Howard, these three people became Kirtanand Swami. Keith became Kirtanand Swami. And Howard became Haigriva Prabhu. And Valley became Umapati Swami. So, when these three were the early day boys in America who helped Srila Prabhupada get place and, you know, get some support in terms of bringing people and everything. So, one day in the morning Bhagavatam lecture, Prabhupada said, one should treat Guru as good as God, like the Prabhupada said. And there were no questions. And Prabhupada went to his quarters. Now, there were a few boys who wanted to take Diksha from Prabhupada. But when they heard this statement, they were shell-shocked. This Swamiji has been extremely angry whenever somebody called himself as God. Prabhupada used to say, if someone claims to be God, he is no less than a dog. He used to say like that. Now, how is it suddenly Swamiji is putting a bomb? He is claiming himself to be God. He says the Guru should be treated as good as God. He is saying. So, but they were not having the guts to go to Prabhupada and ask. So they asked Kirtanand Swami. Later on, Kirtanand Swami came and asked Prabhupada about this. Prabhupada, Swamiji, some people are confused about your statement in the Bhagavatam class that you made today. And Prabhupada clarified. Then Prabhupada said this statement, Sakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastrair. All the Shastras say the Guru should be treated as non-different from Krishna or equal to Krishna. But then Prabhupada said, but he is not God in the Mayavadi sense. He is a Sevaka Bhagavan. Like Krishna is Sevya Bhagavan. Radharani or Guru, they are called a Sevaka Bhagavan. Sevaka means he is actually supreme in the sense of service. And there this line comes. Kintu Prabhorya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Shri Charan Aravindam. He is so dear to Lord that he is treated as good as the Lord. Like you see, one time His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was telling this. Once he, somebody, of course he used to go to make life members in different places. So there was one very rich man who Maharaj wanted to make him life member. He had gone. But the man was extremely busy. So he called his servant and said, this Swamiji who has come, I don't have time to meet him. You just give him my very costly car to use for a day. You can use it for a day. And then tomorrow you can give it back. So he was wondering, just for a day, that's all? You get a car, what to do with this? How can you use it in Krishna service for a day? You know, do you think you can sit in the car and go all around the city? I got a car for Krishna today, so I can use it. So he was thinking. And then he thought, let me use this car in such a special way that it will be best utilized in Krishna service. So using that big car, just like you know this, what is that Lamborghini or what is that car? Lamborghini, huh? Lamborghini, yeah. That's one special car, isn't it? How costly it is? How many crores? 11 crores, huh? Okay, some people are saying 3 crores, some are saying 11 crores. But surely in some crores. Okay, no. But I'm just giving you an example. So like that, imagine if somebody gives you a car, what will you do with it? You will just park it in the temple here? Or you take the car, go around city and say, we Hare Krishna, I got a car for a day. Will you do that? So what he did, he took the car to go to very big people. Very big people, the watchman in whose houses will not let any Hare Krishna go in. But seeing the car, they were allowed in. So they went, you know, he and some assistant, they went to such houses. Because most of the watchmen, they allow somebody to enter the compound by opening the gate when? By seeing the? What type of car you come in, what type of dress you wear, what type of food you eat, and how decently you behave and all that, correct? No? So the car was allowed in. So he had gone to one very big man's house like that. So when Maharaj went in, when he was sitting, he saw that rich man's son, small kid came to see who it is. And Maharaj took out some rasagullas and gave him. Yes, he gave him 2 rasagullas. The boy ate the rasagulla and became very pleased. He said, wow, uncle, this is great. I've never eaten anything like this. So when his papa came, the boy ran to papa, jumped on his lap and said, this uncle brought such amazing, you know, the item. Papa, you also take one and see how it is. So the Baba became very happy. So he told Maharaj that, my son has never been so enthusiastic like today. Huh? You know, you were, I don't know what item you gave, it is so attractive to my son. Because you have made my son happy, I would like to give you a token donation. So he took out his checkbook and wrote some 5 lakh rupees, take it. Huh? Like that. That was token only. So Maharaj easily could make him life member, very easily. So later on, once when Maharaj called from the temple again to the house, the man had told him to come later, come again. When Maharaj made a phone call, watchman or somebody picked up and said, no, aaj bahut busy hai. Generally the secretaries will not let you meet the big man very easily. So he was told that, not now, 2-3 phone calls he made. Then Maharaj said, no, I don't want to talk to the Malik, I want to talk to his child, he said. So then when he gave it to the son, the son picked up, and he asked the boy, and the boy asked, oh, you are Hare Krishna uncle? He said, yes. When are you coming next time? He asked. He said, you have to call me, then only I'll come. No, you tell your papa, then I'll come, he said. Then the boy told papa, papa, call him. And immediately papa called, please call. And then Maharaj was telling, he was comparing the papa to Krishna and the child to the Lord's devotee. Because the father has a weakness. What is his weakness? His attachment to the child. Similarly, Krishna's weakness is his attachment to pure devotees. So you should take full advantage of that weakness, is it not? Because that's what he is telling. The pure devotees are very confidential devotees. The Lord and his very confidential devotees are treated on the same level by those who are actually engaged in loving service of the Lord. You see, if we are engaged in loving devotion service, we will understand the value of such confidential devotees. Ordinary people cannot understand. One time Srila Prabhupada was in airport. As soon as he was coming, you know, he was getting down from the plane, and devotees in the airport were jumping like anything and roaring kirtan. Hare Krishna kirtan was going on, beating mridangams and cymbals. Devotees' eyes were closed with arms raised, dancing. The airport authorities, you know, told some of the other authorities, hey, go and stop these people. Those who went to stop, they couldn't stop seeing the situation. Devotees were so much mad in ecstasy, they felt, how can we stop these people? You know, whether these people will even hear what we are saying. It was difficult. So when Prabhupada came, devotees practically ran into the airport to receive him. As soon as Prabhupada arrived outside, thadal, everybody fell like a vertical stick falling on the ground. Danda vat, we say, no? See, vat means like, danda means stick. If you leave a stick, it falls like that. Like that, all devotees, danda. And all people are looking around, what is this? You see, sometimes we go to airport to receive Maharajas and all. So we go with a garland. And devotees are doing kirtan. And many people coming out from the airport, you know, in plane, they look at us and they feel, hey, there is nobody for us to receive like this. Who? The garland is for which person? Who is that fellow? And then when Parampuja Gopalakrishna Maharaj would come, we would put the garland and everybody would surround him, and all the people watch with great amazement, because in this material world they have not seen things like that. Such things happen in the spiritual world. You will find when Lord Vishnu comes to the gate of Vaikuntha, you know, immediately he is surrounded by many Vishnu Dutas. You know, singing his prayers, garlanding him, offering obeisances to him. Similarly, when Brahma comes to meet Priyavrat, he is not alone. He is surrounded by so many of his associates, demigods and rishis, many of them praising his glories. He comes with his own entourage, like that. Similarly, when Prabhupada came, he was well received by his entourage. In the material world, you find even a big man comes in airport, one driver of a car is standing with one board. That's all. He doesn't know him, he doesn't know him. Showing to everybody like that. Isn't it? So, when we received His Holiness Bhaktivikas Maharaj in station, Pune station, so when he got out, he saw there were 10-15 devotees, all playing mridangam kartal. And Maharaj's servant picked up the luggage. When Maharaj came out, he was so ecstatic. He raised his hand and he danced. And instead of coming out of the station, he went from one end of the train to the engine. Yeah? And from engine he came back. And we told Maharaj, Maharaj, the route is this side. He said, I know the route, he said. But he said, because I have a team to do Harinam, why should I miss the opportunity? And he went from front to back, back to front, you know, almost 3-4 times till the train moved. You know. And then Maharaj was seeing people from the window or watching with amazement. He said, Hare Krishna, he was saying as he was doing like. He told chant, Bolo, Bolo, Harinam Bolo, he was telling. After the train was gone, then we came to this thing. So I am saying the devotees' behaviors and activities are quite different from the material world. Huh? So the confidential devotees of the Lord are received with so much love and respect. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he's saying, see, they are treated on the same level. By whom? By those who are actually engaged in loving service. Only those who are devotees can understand the glory of devotees. So Prabhupada preached in such a way that even the Westerners could understand the glory of pure devotees. And they received him like that. I have put the same purport in Elements in the next page. Why they are called as Bhagavan? Due to his being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. And they are always engaged in loving service of the Lord. And one more thing they do is they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord. They have no other business. This is their business. They travel around reaching out, distributing their sublime message. Like Nanda Maharaj was telling Gargamani when he came to his place. Mahat vijalanam pumsam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan nanyate kalpita kvachit. He's telling mahat vichalanam pumsam. Vichalanam means move from one place to another. Why they move place to place? Just like a newspaper vendor, he distributes newspaper home to home. And he may be drawing some salary. He is also distributing, but he is polluting the atmosphere. Because the newspapers are full of murders, accidents, and all negativity. He is spreading negativity. And the newspapers don't give any sublime spiritual message to elevate the people, purify their heart, uplift them, make them happy. But you read the news. News is full of, you know, who attacked whom and who did what nonsense. Whereas the pure devotees do the opposite. They also move from place to place. But they distribute Krishna's holy name, Krishna's holy fame in the form of Bhagavatam message going from place to place. They are, so while the newspapers are putrefying the place, pure devotees are purifying the place, reaching out the sublime message. So this is a very great service. Now you may say, okay, it's all right, but it is not all right. This is not an easy activity to do. There is so much iron curtain everywhere. Like recently, I have started preaching in Magarpata and Karadi. In Magarpata, we wanted to go inside the Magarpata city and distribute our pamphlets for the program. But we were told that you cannot go house to house. Okay, then our devotees were standing just outside the company. Now, when the people come out of the company, we can give out the pamphlets. And then the watchman told them that you cannot stand here also. The entire Magarpata city people, then we approached the authorities of Magarpata city and told them that, sir, we are not doing any harm, we are just distributing the pamphlet. They said, when we made this Magarpata city, we made a policy that such a pamphlet distribution will not be entertained. They said, so we are not. Then we thought we will go inside the company and do seminar by which we can come across youths, working youths and everything. Because I have done such company programs, more than 200-300 programs I must have done in Pune and other places. Many companies welcome. They give red carpet welcome, on stress management, time management, topics like that. But there, the companies are extra alert. They say, monk's dress, no, we don't want. We are secular company. They are also not telling. How will you preach? Is it not iron curtain? You cannot go inside company also. You cannot put book table anywhere. You cannot go to houses also. You are not allowed to stand even outside the company also. So you will find this is actually a symptom of materialistic civilization. There are two things, materialistic civilization, spiritual civilization. Prabhupada says, one time in Bombay, when Prabhupada came and opened the car and sat inside, some driver was sitting and the driver said, Swamiji, please tell me, where would you like me to take you? Like that he asked. And Prabhupada was surprised. He threw the window, Prabhupada said, Shyam Sundar, Shyam Sundar, he called. And then Shyam Sundar said, Prabhupada, that is not our car. Our car is next car. And both were black cars, exactly looking the same. And Prabhupada told the driver of the car, was the owner of the car, he told him, I'm sorry, my car is next to your car. And that fellow smiled and said, "No, Swamiji, don't mind. You can come in my car if you want. I can take you," like that he said. And then when Prabhupada boarded his own car, he told Shyamasundara Prabhu, if I was abroad, if we sat in another somebody else's car, I don't know what would have happened. Isn't it? In India, Prabhupada was telling, when you walk in a land of a farmer will immediately offer obeisances and say, "Thank you, Swamiji, for walking through my field and sanctifying the farm." Whereas in other places, they put a board, trespassers will be prosecuted. So Prabhupada said, if you walk in somebody else's farm, they may think you are going to encroach their farm. They will shoot you. So this is the difference between spiritual culture and materialistic culture. Prabhupada said, materialistic culture means like dogs. Woof, 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 like that Prabhupada said, "Don't come here." Sometimes you will find a dog, you know, in the morning time when we go in our sumo, we find some dogs are sitting in the road. As soon as they pass through the road, immediately they will be jumping, you know, running behind. As if you have entered their house or something. Even though you may not go into their house, you are passing, still they shout. You have seen that? For no reason they shout. So Prabhupada said, in this way, customs people, Prabhupada is telling, everybody asks them, "Who are you? Why have you come here?" They put so many tests like that, he was telling. Because this, in this way, the whole world is cut into pieces, fragmental parts, by narrow domestic walls. People claiming, "I, me, mine." This is me. And so this "I, me, mine" is actually Sankuchit Chetana. I am Nijapparo Vetti Gananam Lagu Chetasam Udara Charitanam Tu Vasudhayeva Kutumbakam. The pure devotees of the Lord consider all the millions of living entities in this world, 8.4 million species of life, to be one family, headed by Lord Vasudeva, who is their father, who is Aham Bija Pradhapita. So, considering everybody to be the children, they don't see any difference or do pakshapat with anybody. Whereas the non-devotee materialists, they have so many narrow walls. Our jati, our pati, our country, our state, our gali, like that. So therefore you will find the devotees of the Lord, they travel everywhere to preach the glories without any reservations. They don't say you are a unchakul, you are a nichakul. They don't say that. They don't say you are educated, uneducated. They don't categorize the living entities. They are ready to give everybody. And Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada went all over the world. Distributed. And then he's saying, try their utmost to convert the non-devotees of the Lord into devotees. This is a very risky business. When you try to convert non-devotees into devotees, sometimes non-devotees can become extremely wild or angry. Nityananda Prabhu was attacked by Madai on his head, on his forehead. You will see that. And Prabhupada was, staying in the flat of one David. So one said David lived and another said Prabhupada was living. And Prabhupada wrote to his Vaishnava god brothers, "I will make this David the first Vaishnava in America. And through him I will preach and make many, many Vaishnavas in America." Like that Prabhupada wrote. But this David turned out to be a dangerous fellow because he took drugs again. He was a drug addict before. He gave it up and again started taking drugs. And one day he went berserk. You know, he came to attack Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at him. His eyes were bloodshot. And he was in a killing mood. And Prabhupada had to immediately take his trunk and flee for his life from there. Early morning, 5 o'clock, Prabhupada came out of that apartment. And he was in the street. And Prabhupada says, I didn't know where to go. Should I go left or right? Because I had nobody else in America for me. No relatives, no friends. Then he walked a little distance and came to the flat of Mike and Jan, where they were living, who became Mukunda Das and Janaki Mata later on. At that time, they were not married. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, staying in the same apartment. So Prabhupada came and battered the door. Early morning, when they opened the door, they asked, "Swamiji, what happened?" Swamiji said, "This is what happened. David went mad. And he said, I don't know where to go." Then they opened the door, they welcomed, but they felt very uneasy to welcome the Swamiji into their impure apartment. They're leading sinful lives. They were not very happy because they were in the budding stage of devotional service. They were very early devotees. But why should we keep Swamiji in such a place like this? We should find out an apartment for him. And they said, "Don't worry, very soon we'll find out a place for you." Then they all found out that place for Prabhupada later on, the storefront and everything. But why I'm telling you, preaching is a very risky business. People can point fingers at you and criticize you, stone you, and many, many things they may do, attack you. So In this way, therefore, those devotees of the Lord who are taking risk to preach on behalf of the Lord, Lord feels great affection for them. You can see, Narada Muni preached to Hariyashva Shavala's verse, and you can see Daksha Prajapati got wild on him. Correct, no? How much he chastised Narada Muni. He told Narada, you are not a sadhu, I am the real sadhu. Like that he says. So you can find that. Now Narada Muni preached to Prahalad in the womb of Kayadu. And later on when Prahalad became devotee, all his demoniac friends asked him, hey Prahalad, you are a prince, you would have never left the palace. You know, because generally prince lives in the palace only. How is it that such amazing knowledge you are speaking? Who gave you this knowledge? So he said, I was very blessed and fortunate. My guru gave me this knowledge, he says. When Chandana Amaraka asked Prahalad, how did you get this knowledge? He doesn't quote Narada Muni's name. He says, it's all guru's blessings. Like that he says. Otherwise, those guys will get on the case of Narada. Isn't it? Similarly, when Hiranyakashipu asked, tell me, what did you learn in Gurukula? As soon as he heard the word Gurukula, Prahlad remembered his womb only. My womb was my Gurukula and my Guruji was Narada. Then he told them. What he told? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyamatmani Vedanam, Iti Pumsarpitav Vishnu, Bhaktische, Navalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavat Yadha, Tanmanye, Adhitamuttamam. My dear father, this Navida Bhakti I learned. Did you learn in Chandamarga's Gurukul? No. This is what he learned from Narada, which he told his father. So you will find Narada was tremendously influenced by, when Prahlad was influenced by Narada's spiritual influence. So in this way, devotees of the Lord take great risk in reaching out and giving the message. Like Nityananda Prabhu is an even more big risk taker. Therefore, Mahaprabhu glorified him like that. One day Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu was actually going to meet Advaita Acharya Prabhu, who was preaching Yoga Vashishta elsewhere. So on the way, Nityananda Prabhu told, there is one fellow to whom I am preaching to here. If you can kindly give your association to him, it will be very nice. And Mahaprabhu said, who is that? He said, he's a sannyasi. He said, sannyasi? He's already a sannyasi, then what are you preaching? He said, yes, sir, still preaching is required for him, he said. Okay, Mahaprabhu accepted. Okay, sometime when we go on our preaching tour, people request, now, can you please on the way drop in, you know, to this house, that house. So like that, Mahaprabhu thought, okay, it's a flying visit I'll make for a few minutes. So he took him to one Lalitpur, one place, and Nityananda took him to the house of the sannyasi. But he was a different type of sannyasi. Because the sannyasi welcomed Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, both of them. Then he called his wife from inside. And when wife came out, Mahaprabhu looked at Nityananda Prabhu, what is this? Sannyasi, how he can have a sannyasi wife? He was wondering. And then he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you would like to eat? Just like we go to some homes, people ask, would you like to take chai? Or do you like to take coffee? What would you like to have? So that fellow asked, would you like to have bliss? He asked. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu, what is bliss? He is asking. And Nityananda Prabhu said, bliss means liquor. That is one of his favorite items, so he's asking you. Sir. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard it, he ran out of the house. Nityananda Prabhu ran behind him. And Mahaprabhu jumped into the Ganges. He said, what kind of person you are preaching to? At least don't take me to such places. So, Nityananda Prabhu even transformed Jagai Madai such people also. One day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in Navadvip, he saw Srivas Thakur. And then he was telling, there was a liquor shop where many fellows were drinking liquor. And Mahaprabhu said, look at those fellows, how they are degrading and how they are suffering. You should go and preach. So he said, how can anybody go inside? How will any Brahmana, the sacred thread, will want to go inside such a place, horrible place? Of course, when Mahaprabhu raised his arms and chanted and danced, those liquor fellows also started dancing. Of course, Mahaprabhu never went near them at all. He went ahead. But Mahaprabhu had an ardent desire to reach out Krishna consciousness, to preach to such people, which Srila Prabhupada fulfilled in a very powerful way. Not only drunkards. Prabhupada preached in West to hippies who had done anything and everything that you know and you don't know also. There are things which you may not even know also. All kinds of things they were doing. They had gone to the extreme sinful activities. But Prabhupada made those who are cow flesh eaters into, those who stopped even eating onion and garlic. Those who are drinking liquor now have stopped drinking coffee, tea, which is many South Indian Brahmanas cannot do. Many South Indian Brahmins cannot give up coffee. But you can see that very easily Prabhupada made them give up. And Prabhupada told them, you cannot roam around with dozens of partners, women like monkeys. You have to marry with a woman and settle properly. And Prabhupada made them marry in a Vedic way, women wearing saris and men wearing dhoti kurta and everything. So the miracle that Prabhupada did, surely Prabhupada carried Nityananda Avesh. Therefore it's called Shakti Avesh. Unless that Avesh was bestowed upon him, no ordinary living being can do any miracle like that. Humanly impossible. So that is the point given here. They try their utmost to convert non-devotees of the Lord into devotees, to bring them to platform of sanity. Like how Narada made Dhruva was determined in getting some materialistic goal. Narada made him a pure devotee. This is another paragraph, 431.8. I have put it into elements, I will show you in the next one. This is a summary of that. I have cut and pasted important sections of the purport. Prabhupada saying, why is Narada called Bhagavan? He is always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. And he possesses Bhagavan within his heart. This I have already told you in the beginning. I told you. They carry Krishna and they distribute Krishna. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro. Tomara shakati ache. Sab log boliye. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro. Tomara shakati ache. Amita kangal, Krishna Krishna bali. Dhaita va pache pache. Dhaita va pache pache. Oh, Vaishnava Thakura, Doyara Sagara. ये दासे करुणा कोरी दिया पद छाया शोधो हे अमाया तुम्हारा चरण दोरी It is said they possess Bhagavan, therefore they can act like Bhagavan, Prabhupada saying. See the fourth point. If one possesses Bhagavan within his heart always, does he not automatically possess all opulence also? He is saying. Like Prabhupada was 70 years old, but many Western disciples considered Prabhupada most beautiful to look at. Isn't it? Is there any 70 year old man who will be so attractive if he is not a devotee? You will see that when you are 70 years old, your tooth are gone, your hair is grey or white. And your mouth has become like that, and they're holding a stick. You look like ugly duckling. And many people want to, get rid of old people. They don't want to, because they know that this fellow will be, all the time ordering, do this, do that. They don't like. But Prabhupada was so attractive that Janaki Mataji once snatched the ticket of Prabhupada, flight ticket. She asked Prabhupada, there is a picture you will find in Lilamrit. She asked, Swamiji, how will you go to India if we don't give you your ticket? And Prabhupada is giggling also. How many of you have seen that photo? Seen that, isn't it? It's there in Lilamrit. Can you imagine young, bubbling teenagers were mad after Prabhupada. They were attached to Prabhupada. That means the pure duty of the Lord is very beautiful also. Okay, is Prabhupada wealthy? Yes. Prabhupada, when he purchased that Fisher's mansion, that fellow said it's $23 million, but Prabhupada purchased it in $3 million. Because how did he do that? When he went in, Prabhupada told, there were two people, Lekha Shanti Mataji and our Ambarish Prabhu, were there on either side of Prabhupada watching. Prabhupada told them, oh, this bungalow is so beautiful. It is fit enough a place for a king to live. So the owner was thinking, seems that Swamiji is now attached to this building. He is going to buy. And then Prabhupada looked at the owner and said, but we are not kings, we are beggars. And that fellow understood, maybe Swamiji is going to bargain. And then when the time, turn came, Prabhupada asked him, after seeing that there was a lake behind her, Prabhupada saw that and came back. Everywhere there were gold-plated taps. And even if you go today and see, it's a very, very posh place, that Detroit temple. So Prabhupada looked at the owner and said, can you gift it to us? Yeah. See, how many of you honestly tell me you will be afraid to ask this question? Right now, yeah. See, and that fellow looked up and down. How can he ask like this? And then Prabhupada bargained with him and brought it in $3 million. He purchased it. Can you imagine? And then when Prabhupada came out of the building, he said to his other disciples, he said, see, I am simply Krishna's servant. I am like a beggar. When I went inside the building, I had no money with me. When I came out, my hands are empty and this building has become Krishna's. That's all I can do, he said. So Prabhupada ran 108 temples during his time. He was managing 108 temples. And he said to one of the staff reporters, I am maintaining 5,000 men and women in all these 108 temples. And none of them are going for a job outside. And they are all chanting and dancing here. And they are preaching Bhagavad Gita. And we are distributing books. And we are maintaining. You see how Krishna can maintain his devotees, you can see. Which means Prabhupada had no dearth of money. Even many people are amazed how ISKCON is building huge. When Kargar big temple is coming, it's 120 crore temple. It's coming in Kargar. Similarly, this temple we started with 30 crore, 40 crore. Now it has become 70, 80 crore, this temple also. Similarly, in India, you will find there are a dozen big temples. So imagine if you are going for a job, can you earn money and make a temple like this on your own? Because the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, one of the opulences of Bhagavan is he has unlimited wealth, isn't it? So this is how Prabhupada explaining the pure devotee of the Lord also can do wonders. Naivam vidha purushakara urakramasya pumsam tadangri rajasa jitashat gunanam chitram vidura vigataha sakradada dita yannamadhe yamadhuna sajahati bandham. This verse is in glorification of Priyavrat, who using their wheel rim, he created the different varshas. And also he did miraculous activities, Priyavrat Maharaj, during his times. So this verse is used. He says, Tadangari Rajasa, you should get the dust of Lord's feet on your head, then you can do miracles. If somebody gets the dust of Lord's feet, they can act as good as Bhagavan. They can act better than Bhagavan also. Like Lord Ram requires Setubandha to cross, to go to Lanka, whereas Hanuman is jumping over Lanka without any Setuban. In this way, Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya preached in India, but Prabhupada preached all over the world. So Prabhupada says, who is great? So devotees are bewildered. And Prabhupada said, you see, Lord delights in making his devotees do better than himself. By Lord's mercy, devotee does. Like we say, a kangaroo keeps his baby inside the packet. You've seen that? If kangaroo jumps 4 feet, the baby can jump 16 feet. Because it is also jumping along with kangaroo and can jump out long distance. Like that we say sometimes, hey, if father can jump 4 feet, son jumps 16 feet. Of course, father delights in seeing his children do better than him. So I will conclude the talk with one last example. There is one verse which is well known amongst the Bhagavatam speakers. This verse says, Aham veti, suko veti, vyaso vetana veti va. Like that there is a verse spoken by Shiva to Parvati. He says, as far as Bhagavatam is concerned, Aham veti, I know Bhagavatam. He says, I know Bhagavatam. Shuko veti, Sukadeva Goswami also knows. Vyaso vetana veti va, whether Vyasadev knows or not, I don't know, he says. So it may be very shocking because Sukadeva learnt from whom? Vyasadeva only. And Vyasadeva has written all the Vedic literature. Why is he saying like this? And the reason he says is this. The reason is, you see, the glories of the Lord are known to the devotees of the Lord more than the Lord. Lord doesn't know his glory, just like a lotus. Can the lotus know how sweet is the honey inside the lotus? Can the lotus know its own beauty? Can the lotus know its own tenderness? Can the lotus know its own fragrance? Who knows it best? Bumblebee, isn't it? Bee only knows it. Similarly, the Lord's beauty, sweetness, fragrance, greatness, glory, pastimes, these are all best known to whom? Only Lord's devotees. So you will find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks his glory, but poor Krishna, he is not able to sufficiently glorify himself. Because Krishna is Lord, he feels uneasy to glorify himself to the utmost in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, sometime when he looked at Arjuna and said, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Arjuna, please surrender to the Supreme Lord. Like that he says. So one boy asked me a question. Praj, why are you saying Tameva Sharanam Gacha? Surrender to me only. You should say that, no? That also he says. Mamekam Sharanam Gacha also he says. But sometimes, even after saying Mamekam Sharanam Gacha, Arjuna doesn't understand. Says, like sometimes a father takes a small son on his lap and says, hey, beta, Pitaji ka baat manna chahiye? He says, no. Are Pitaji idhar hi baithe hain? Mere baat manna chahiye, bolna chahiye, na? Wo kya bolte hain? Pitaji ka baat manna chahiye. Similarly, Lord is telling Arjuna, please hear your super soul. But the super soul is who? Krishna only. So Krishna doesn't speak his own glories elaborately in Bhagavad Gita. But in Bhagavatam, who speaks Krishna's glories? Devotees. Oh, if you go to your father and ask him, can you please tell me about your son? Oh my Lord, you will have to look at your watch because he will glorify so much. You know, my son has this. He has, mother or father, they can glorify the son or daughter so much. You have seen that? Any of you have tried this? If you want to waste your time, you can go and ask somebody. Tell me about your son or daughter. They can tell you about their study, about their intelligence, about their activities, this, that, so many things. They tell more than the children also. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, Shiva said, Aham Veti, I am a devotee of Krishna, so I can glorify Lord. I know Bhagavatam. Shuko Veti, Shuko is also a devotee, so he can also glorify. But Vyasa, there is a problem because Vyasadeva is himself Krishna. Vyasadeva is literal incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, I don't know whether he knows or not, which means he may not be able to glorify himself. Therefore, he may not know Bhagavatam, like that he said. So therefore, the devotees of the Lord possess Bhagavan and they distribute Bhagavan. Therefore, they are actually, they have connections with Krishna. Not that they are Bhagavan, they also have six opulences. But they have connection with Krishna and therefore connection with all the six opulences. Just like a boy, for example, he is going to a shop and he wants to purchase a bike. He says, Papa, Papa, I want the bike. Immediately the Papa purchases a 5,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees, you know, bike and gives him. Isn't it? Now the son doesn't possess 5,000 in his pocket. His father possesses. But the father loves him and the son can tell the father to buy it. This is the way the devotee is connected to the Lord. So, anyway, here Indra and Rishabhadeva, both are called Bhagavan. Prabhupada explains that here. That although the Bhagavan is very opulent, I mean Indra is Indra, Shiva, Brahma, Narada, they are all called as Bhagavan. Due to extraordinary opulence, we should know that Rishabhadeva was an incarnation of Supreme Lord and therefore he was original Bhagavan. He was not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself. You know that. When Rishabhadeva was born, he was so beautiful, handsome. All the devatas were looking at him and Indra saw, I am becoming unpopular. Nobody is seeing me. So he stopped the rains in the Ajanabha Varsha, which is Bharat Varsha. So all over India it became dry. Because Indra thought when it becomes dry, everybody will look up. Oh Lord Indraji, please give us rains. That's what he thought they will do. But Rishabhadeva smiled. He said, Indra, you are so proud. You want everybody to worship you. Wait and watch what I do. Rishabhadeva did his hands like this. And there was a downpour of rain. So in Govardhan Leela, Indra showered a lot of rain. Krishna took a Govardhan Hill and stopped Indra's attack over Vrajabasis. And here Indra was holding the rain, Krishna made him pour down. So who is in control? You understood? So when Indra poured down rain, Krishna blocked it with Govardhan. Now Indra is holding rain, Krishna pulled down the rain in the form of Rishabhadeva. So who is in control? Krishna is in control. So Krishna is the real Bhagavan. Prabhupada says, Rishabhadeva is the real Bhagavan, not Indra. Although Bhagavan Indra Shabda is used. As long as Indra represents Vishnu, he can be called as Bhagavan Indra. The moment he stops representing, it's good for nothing. Like somebody is carrying a danda and walking a sannyasi, everybody bows down to him. But if he does some blunder with some woman, they will take the same danda and beat him up. Correct, no? So therefore one should know the respect is not given to the person but to the order that he is representing. The danda is carrying. So he was telling His Holiness, what is his name? Jananda Maharaj, he said, when you become a sannyasi, you get a BMW, he was selling. And everybody was looking at each other. He said, BMW car? They were thinking. He said, BMW means body, mind, words, which represents the danda. He said, and people bow down, not to you, but to the danda, the order that you are representing. Similarly, as long as one represents Bhagavan very nicely, Indra was representing, he was called Bhagavan Indra. The moment he is misrepresenting, he is no more called as Bhagavan Indra, correct? Similarly, Bhagavan Badarayani, this is Shukadeva Goswami, who is very powerful sage. Viparishir Bhuri Tejasaha Aham Chadyagamam Tatra Nivishtastat Anugrahat. He says that, Sutta Goswami says, Viparishir Bhuri Tejasaha, very, very powerful sage, Shukadeva Goswami. That's what he says. Jaya Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. So,